house of God. You know, I was thinking this morning, this is the day the Lord hath given us, right? I mean, the day, this is the day the Lord hath made, rejoice and be glad in. We all quote that verse, right? But this is a special day. It's not Monday, it's not Tuesday, it's not Wednesday. All those days belong to God, right? But God has given his children a special day. The first day. Today. To do what? Well, to practice. To practice what? To practice heaven. Do you realize that one day, the Bible says in Ephesians, that he will gather together all those that are in Christ. Well, today we don't gather all, right? I mean, this is not all the family of God, is it? This is a small part of it. But folks, if we're children of God, we're to be practicing what the majority is going to do. One day in heaven, we're going to have one day together. To do what? Now you tell. Yeah, to praise, to worship, to sing. That's what we're to be doing. I mean, any of you sports-minded? I know, ladies, some of you are not, and I get that. Some of you men are not, I get that. But I'm sports-minded because I grew up playing sports, and, you know, I have a saying, you will practice like you play. If you practice poorly, you're going to play poorly. If you practice unfocused, you're going to play unfocused. Well, folks, if this is a practice session, for what, and if we believe it's really a practice session for what's coming, then shouldn't we be practicing in earnestness, in sincerity? Shouldn't that be what we do? We have been in Revelation, I don't know how long. I don't count. I just come and teach. But we've come to the 20th chapter, right? Would y'all let me take a drink and then, because for some reason I'm clogging up again. I clog up more than anything I've ever seen. I was scheduled to sing at Case service last Sunday night, and I'm allergic to flowers, as you know. I wasn't there 5 minutes till I went over in another room, tried to get away from everything, and I went over to practice. I couldn't get out a note, so I had Vince fill in for me, and did a wonderful job, did a better job than I could do, but I wanted to sing, huh? Vince at Walters. Yeah. But anyway, now where was I? Huh? Chapter 20. Thank you. It's good to know where I'm at. Good to know where I'm at. In chapter 20. Now, chapter 20 is towards the end, correct? Well, we know it is because there's just 22 chapters, and so we must be getting near the end. Well, chapter 20 had four. I'm going to let Greg give them to me, too. Chapter 20 had four B's to it. And don't anybody help him either. Don't you dare help him.
She didn't tell
him. No, I did not tell
him. We were confused about what we were talking about, trying to figure out the four B's. Now, I may not have them in order.
No, I want them in order, son. Listen, when I ask you, I want them in order. I don't want them happenstance. First, now, what's the binding. First? Thank you. Binding.
And blessing.
Blessing.
Battle.
And books. Now, the binding comes when an angel comes down from heaven with power from heaven given to him by God, and he lays hold. Don't you like that? I mean, have you ever wanted to just lay hold of Satan? Well, if you hadn't, God help you. I certainly have. But I can't, because I'm not in the same atmosphere as heaven. I'm in the flesh. So if I try to battle Satan on my own, I'm not going to win. I'm not going to be. Now listen, don't get me wrong. I have power. I've got power over him. I can tell you that. He has no power over me, because greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. Right? Right. But in the flesh, don't be trying to fight Satan or you lose. But the angel comes down and he binds him, that old serpent. Don't you like the way the Bible describes him? He binds that old dragon, the serpent, Satan, the devil, so that you don't miss on who's getting bound here. And so that you don't give him too much power, folks. Satan has no power of his own. You have no power of your own. All power is given unto God. It belongs to him. And so he gives this authority, this power to this angel, and down he comes and he binds him, and he has a chain and a key with him, right? And he's going to bind him up and cast him into the
bottomless
pit for 1,000 years. Now, I realize there's people that think that's symbolic and it just means a period of time. Hey, I won't argue with them. I believe it's a literal 1,000 years. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong. They could be wrong. It won't matter. It's a period of time either way, right? It's either an exact period of time, 1,000 years, or it's symbolically meaning a period of time, which we don't know, but it's still a period of time, right? So a period of time has what? Two things. A period of time has two things. What? A beginning and an ending. So it doesn't matter what's 1,000 years or not, right? Doesn't make a big difference. I believe it's 1,000 years because it mentions it 4 times. I mean, you know, hey, stupid, I've told you 4 times what it is. It's 1,000 years. So he's bound for 1,000 years. And during that 1,000 years, what is happening here on earth? Oh, honey, you can shout it out. There you go. Let's make that our New Year's, not a resolution, but let's make that our New Year's thing. We're going to shout out in here. Bless God, we're going to shout out the praises of God. We're going to shout out the songs of God. We're going to shout out a testimony for God. We're going to shout out a little bit. I tell you, I was down in Nashville this week with Jackie, you know. She was having surgery, and Dan and Dave and I were down there. And we were in the waiting room there, you know, and they had the TV on. And the price is right, the price was right, something price and something right, the price is right was on. And this girl gets the right guess on the gift or the prize, right? And they get to go up on stage. You know that. Y'all seen the Price is Right. Well, she wins, and she just... No, she went back. She act like a plum fool. And folks, all she won was a gift that's going to fade away. That's all. We've got salvation. And we can't jump up and shout a little bit. You say, Tom, why are you hammering on this? Listen, I'm hammering on it because we're supposed to be practicing for heaven. And I don't believe we're going to get to heaven like, Oh, boy, isn't it good to be here? I'm serious. Hey, if the world can act like a fool at a ball game, or on The Price is Right, and they've got nothing. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a fool, too, at the ball game. I get plumb crazy. I've embarrassed people around me. Not by doing something mean or anything, but by acting stupid. I mean, I get into it. Well, folks, I got a lot more to get into now than I do at a ball game. I've got the Lord. And I got the promise that he's going to bind my adversary for 1,000 years, and I'm going to have total peace here on this earth for 1,000 years. Little children, it says, will live how long? It don't say. It says if they die at 100, it'll be considered a baby. Remember I gave you the numbers on that? Well, if you look at the 1,000 years, you see that's 1/10 of life, right? So if you go on today's numbers and us say 80 years old, that's a good, the Bible says 70 and by chance 80. So 1/10 of that would be 8 year old. Well, if an 8 year old dies, we say a childhood. Well, folks, he gives you the math. He says, look, it's 1,000 years, and if a child dies at 100 years old, it's going to be considered a baby. That's what it's going to be like to live for 1,000 years. Methuselah didn't even live 1,000 years. We're going to outlive him. But during this 1,000 years, something else goes on other than peace. What else goes on? Well, multiplication of people. There's going to be people that enter into this 1,000-year kingdom in the natural state, which means they have children. Otherwise, why would you say a baby dies at age 100 if they wasn't going to be children born, right? Well, certainly. So you know that there's going to be children. And for 1,000 years, if you consider that there's no sickness, there's nothing, death is rare. Well, if for 1,000 years, don't you think the population's going to grow? Well, don't you think that we'd run out of food? Oh, no, because he says the desert is going to blossom like the rose of Sharon. There's going to be no poverty. How many of you would like to see the end of poverty? Well, my goodness. If you got a right mind, anybody likes to see little children in poverty, or anybody in poverty. Well, God's going to end the poverty, folks. There's going to be an abundance of everything. It's going to be wonderful, right? Yes. I mean, we say we get people, Henry, and I'm going to come over here and talk to Henry. Y'all can listen in on our conversation. We get people today that, you know, they make a lot of bad choices in their life. And if you ask them about it, they say, well, if things had have been different. You know, this happened and this happened. But boy, if things had have just been different, I'd have made different choices. Well, God's going to say, no, you wouldn't. I'm going to give you perfection. And that's what it'll be. I'm going to give you a perfect life. You'll still make the wrong choice. You know how I know that? Where? Where at in the book? No, don't give me Becky's answer now. Becky's answer is no longer valid in 2019. Becky's answer is no longer good in this class. It was good in 18. It's no longer... Well, it says it right there in chapter 20. It says at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is loosed. And he goes out to deceive the people. And he does. To the point to where he gathers this great army to go against the saints of God and the holy city of God. 1,000 years of perfection. They still don't choose the right thing. Now, I don't know why that is. I don't know why God gives this period of time except to say, hey, I'm just going to show you, you got no excuse. You can't say, well, Lord, if I'd had it different on earth, if I'd had different parents, if I'd had a different, if I'd have lived in a different city, if I hadn't have got sick, if I hadn't have had this, if I hadn't have had that, well, you won't have any of that. You're going to have it made. And they'll still make the wrong choice. And so here comes Satan. He's loosed. He gathers his army. And here they come. They haven't learned a thing, have they? Remember the last battle, Armageddon? You remember what happened at the last battle where people were so stupid they thought they'd go up against God? You remember what happened? Well, God took the false prophet and the beast and he cast them into the bottomless pit, right? And what happened to the remnant? They were slain with the sword. What's his sword? You're dead. No big battle. Remember I've told you before where your breath is? Right there. Well, all God has to do is this, folks. No, close it. If he closes his hand, you got no breath. And you got no breath, you got no life. That's God. So here they come. They're going to go against him again. Well, this time fire comes down from heaven and devours them all. They take Satan and they cast him into the bottomless pit, it says, where the beast and the false prophet were. Well, okay, the lake of fire. Where the beast and the false prophet are. Remember we said it's not where. They weren't there. They are there. Guess what? They're still there. They're there forever. Now, if you would turn to Acts. I don't know. Chapter 24. Let's begin. Let me read verse 1, and then I'm going to jump. You know, I'm going to, so stay with me, okay? Verse 1, chapter 24 and verse 1. 24 and 1. And after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. So here they come. Now, why are they against Paul? Pay attention. Why are they against Paul? That's exactly right. Paul is giving out the gospel. You know, I can't understand for the life of me, if somebody gives you good news, why you hate them? I mean, does that make sense to you? If somebody come up, Becky, and said, I'm going to give you $1 million, then you say, I hate you for that.
I wouldn't do that.
Well, you'd think you wouldn't. Don't say you wouldn't, honey. You don't know. First of all, you don't know who's offering you the million. And you don't know whether you'd hate them or not. These people shouldn't have hated Paul. They shouldn't have hated Jesus.
They shouldn't have. Their daddy was the devil.
But they did. And here they did. And they take him before a man named Felix. And we pick up there in verse 14. But this I confess unto thee after the way which they call heresy. That's the religious group, I'll call them, with all respect to groups. So worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have the assurance. if you make notes in your Bible, I want you to write that above that. Because sometimes if we're not mistaken, if we're not careful, we will mistake the word hope. Our word for hope and the Bible's word for hope is two different things entirely. I mean, I hope that I'll live to be 71. But I have no assurance that I will. I can hope. But no assurance. But when God gives you a hope, you have a certainty and an assurance. So here's what he says. And I have an assurance towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. You know, one thing sometimes that we leave out of the gospel, not purposely, but sometimes we just sort of slide by it. That's the resurrection. You know, we talk a lot about the cross. The cross was for our atonement. The cross was to pay for our sin debt. But if you leave it there, it can't help us. If Jesus don't resurrect, you can't be right in the sight of God. Because after he resurrected, where did he go? Back to the Father to present the atonement. And God accepted the atonement for your sins. That's why Romans 5 says that it is he was raised for our justification in the sight of God. You can be right with God because Christ rose from the dead. Well, folks, what it's saying here is resurrection is going to be one of two ways for you. It's going to be good or it's going to be bad. It's going to be for the good and it's going to be for the bad. And so Paul is preaching this. And herein do I exercise myself, he says, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation, offerings whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in temple, neither with multitude and with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. In other words, well, here's what he's doing. If they've got something against me, don't you think they ought to be here? I mean, they go around talking about me. Shouldn't they be here? They weren't there. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice, that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called into question. Listen, he was giving out good news. They hated him for it. He's saying you're going to resurrect one of these days. They hated him for that. Why? Isn't that good news? Well, I'm going to go back here. Y'all can listen in on my conversation. Is that not good news?
Depends which resurrection you're going
to. Oh, that's why they hated him. See, he says there's a resurrection to the just and to the unjust. Well, the unjust don't like it if the just tells them they're not resurrecting to justification. They hate you for that. Listen, they hate teachers and preachers who say, listen, without Christ, you're going to hell. I mean, that's good news. You say good news? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because you see, if I say, without Christ, you're going to hell, what's the reverse? With Christ, you're not. So I've given you good news. I just had to do it in a negative way, but I've given you good news. If I say without Christ you're this, then it could say with Christ you're this. Without Christ you're lost. With Christ you're... I'm giving you the good news. I'm just using it in a negative way, it says. So that's what he's saying. I'm just giving out good news here. Why do they hate me? And so he comes on, he says, and when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and let him have liberty, and he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister to come unto him. And after, now listen to this, follow this. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the one thing that could cause him to be in the resurrection of the just. He heard Paul. He and his wife heard Paul. They were interested. And as he reasoned of righteousness, come on in here, temperance, and judgment to come, he trembled. He's not only interested, it shakes him. Used to be, folks, and I know most of you are too young, you know, to remember. But, oh yeah, yeah, most of you are too young to remember. When people would hold on to the back of the pew, trembling, that was the conviction of the Holy Spirit through the message they had heard. Well, that's what Felix was doing. He was agreeing. He was saying, "Paul, you're right." Well, that certainly would save him. No, it won't. Because the devil's feared. The devil's trembled. Didn't make any difference with them. And it won't make any difference with this man because he stopped there. He says, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way." And that's why I said, I think it was last week, I don't remember, when I say anything, or if it was me that even said it. Maybe I heard it. I don't know. But I think I said, that's why I don't think a person should get up and leave during the altar call. Nothing should stir in here, folks. It should be about the children of God praying for that trembling soul that might be just on the edge. And all it would take is the creaking of the door. Or the stirring of someone getting out and walking to steal their chance. Here he has his chance and he trembles. But he says, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season." I don't know about you. That's so sad to me. Because you will read till you are blue in the face, and you will never see where he got that opportunity again, where he ever trembled again. It was gone. And then Paul is given over to a guy named Festus. And Festus calls in Paul and he's talking to him. And then Agrippa comes in. And if you look over at 26 and 27, you see this right here. or verse 25. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus. In other words, Festus, when he heard Paul telling about Christ and everything, he said, listen, I think you've been studying too much. I think you're crazy. I think you're mad. That's in chapter 26 and somewhere around 23 or 4. And Paul says, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth. And for the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. God's not hiding this from you, son. You call me mad? Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Let me tell you something. You can believe this if you want to, and I don't care if you don't. These people that say they don't know, they're lying to themselves. They're deceiving themselves. God hath put it in every human being, folks, to know. They just choose not to. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have a responsibility to go out and give it out and to have a testimony and to witness. But, folks, they're not going to stand before God and ever say, I didn't know. Paul says, oh, you knew. You know. And he says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know you believe. I know you do. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost. I don't know about you. That's sad. Almost. What's that song say? Almost, but lost. You're right too, honey. It's almost persuaded. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And here's what Paul said. Oh, I wish to God that not only you, but all those that hear me this day were like me, saved. I wish it wasn't almost for you, brother. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them, and when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves. This man doeth nothing worthy of death or bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had appealed unto Caesar. Let me tell you something. You know what's there? A five-letter word is right there. I'm going to show you too. Grace. If Paul is sent to Caesar, he doesn't get to give them the opportunity. God sent these men and this woman the opportunity. They refused it. I've titled today's lesson, how did I end up here? How did I end up here? How did I get here? First of all, that tells me the reality of it. You're going to be there. A person is going to be in chapter 20. When John says, and I saw. Didn't hear. Didn't think. Didn't hope. It's sort of like this. I see Henry. I don't have somebody tell me Henry's here. I see him. Folks, that carries a whole lot more weight than I heard. If you go into court, now I'm not an attorney, but I spent the night in the Holiday Inn Express. But if you go into court, An eyewitness carries the most weight. And they won't even allow what they call hearsay. In other words, I can't go in there and say, well, I heard Henry was there. They're going to say, well, that's hearsay. You got a witness to show that Henry was there? Because if you don't, your testimony is useless. John says, and I saw a great white throne. It's great because it's God's. Great is the Lord, the Bible says. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His judgment's going to be great. But he says, and I saw a great white throne. White meaning purity. Listen, when God said, Abraham said this, just before they went down to Sodom, and y'all know what happened at Sodom, judgment. You remember he said, I've come down to see if it's like it, like I heard it was. Look, that's our vernacular. That's for man. God already knew what was down there, folks. That's why he was listening to Abraham. God loved his heart when he said, if there's 50. And he said, yeah, if there's 50. Well, he knew there wasn't 50. He already knew who was coming out of that city. He was going to listen to his friend. Plead. Listen, we should be pleading for the lost. We should be begging for the lost. If we truly believe that there's going to be a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. Let me ask you something. How did this earth get here? God said, let there be. Blessed God, and there it was. Well, one of these days, God's going to say, let there not be. And there it won't be. It's not like it's going to dissolve and there's going to be ashes everywhere. It's going to happen just like this, folks. Here it is. Everybody see it? Everybody see the world? Everybody see the earth? Watch this now. Here's how it's going to be. It'll be sucked back into nothingness from which it came at the word of God. And there'll be no place found. Remember, he's talked all through Revelation about the earth dwellers. Remember? It's all through there. It means the unsaved, folks. It means people that put more emphasis on this earth and the things of this earth and the enjoyment of this earth and the desires of this earth and what this earth can give you. And you were so tied to this earth that you wouldn't look up and see God. He's going to take it from you. Gone. Gone. And there was no place found. Well, if there's no place for them to be, where are they going to be? They're going to be in the lake of fire and brimstone. He says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled, for there was no place found for them. And I saw. Oh, to God that we could see. I saw the dead. Let me ask you something. How many of you have seen a TV show or a movie about the living dead? Come on now, it's okay if you have. Over here's one, over here's one, over here's one, up back here's one. Where do you think they come up with that idea? Where do you... Zombies. Listen, folks, that's Satan trying to diminish what's reality. There's no such thing as zombies. Till here. Now there's going to be zombies. Bless God, the dead's going to not walk, not run, stand. And I saw the dead, both small, I don't care what side of the tracks you're on. I don't care, bless God, if you live in a palace in England or if you live in a shack or if you're even homeless. I don't care. God don't care. You say, God don't care? God don't care where you come from. God don't care what you've got. God don't care what you possess, because what you got and what you don't have, he's give to you. I'll tell you what God cares about. What'd you do with my son? Listen, you may be homeless down here, but if you've got Christ, well, you're a rich person. Huh? You say, Tom, you can't convince me of that. Well, then, I'm sorry, can't convince you of it. Can't convince the world of it either. But it's true. But he says, I saw the dead, both small and great. What are they doing? Stand before God. Follow me. People have an opportunity now, folks, to kneel before God. To plead with God for mercy and grace. And you know what you get? You get mercy and grace. He says, come boldly before the throne of grace, that you might obtain mercy and find. Notice the two words are, come boldly before the throne of grace that you may obtain. What does that mean, Henry? That means something's going to be given to you and you get it in your possession, that you may obtain mercy and find. What does that mean? That means you're going to get something you didn't have. If you find it, you didn't have it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be looking for it, right? He says, obtain mercy and find grace. What's the rest of it? You say, Tom, I don't know. I'm going to help you. To help in time of need. Well, now's your time of need. Not at white throne judgment, folks. You're going to need. But you won't be finding nothing. Because he says, here's what he says, both small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And the book, which is the book of life, was opened. Now, two books there, aren't they? Well, follow me. The first set of books. What would you say that is? Honey, I know you say that and I know you believe it, but that's not true. I'm going to help you. It's not, behind you, she's holding up the Bible. What it is, if a person rejects Christ, are they not saying, I'm good enough? I mean, come on. Are they not saying, I don't need him, I'm good enough, he'll have to let me in, I've done all these things. Yeah. Well, just read Matthew 7, he says, they'll say, God, haven't we done all these things? He'll say, sorry, I just sang it to you this morning. So what it means is that you're not standing on his life. Mm-hmm. You're going to stand on your own two feet.
That's right.
Well, he's going to open your book. Oh, you better listen to this. This is awesome. He's going to open up the book every second, every thought, every action, everything you've ever done, said, thought, wished, hoped, everything. Right there. And not one thing in your book is going to warrant you salvation. He's going to show it to you. He's going to show it to you. He's going to say, here it is, honey. I'm not pointing at you now. It's a hypothetical. This is your second of every life, of every breath, of every thought, of everything. Every time you turned me down, every time you heard about me, every time you rejected me, here it is. Do you remember now? Do you remember when you felt the Holy Spirit convicting you? Do you remember when you heard that sound of the Holy Spirit knocking on your door? Let me in! Let me in! And you said, no! I'm good enough! And then you know what he looked for? Your name. Your name. Dwayne. Is your name written in the book of life? Is your name written here? If it's not, you're not good enough. Your life will never live up to what you need. Your life will never be good enough. So he looks in the Lamb's book of life. And then he says this. Whosoever. Everybody. All those. Everyone. Whose name was not found. Written. In the Lamb's book of life. They're going to take them. It's all to grab us, folks. You got a son, you got a daughter, you got a husband, got a wife, huh? Got a grandmother, got a grandfather, got a good friend. Into the lake of fire they go. Why? Because they said what Felix said. They said what Agrippa said. Almost. At a more convenient time, some other time. But it's not on your time, folks. It's on God's time. If God's inviting a person, they better come. He may not invite again. And you know what's going to happen when that happens? They're going to end up here. With their name. Not written.